Hello, and welcome to the Mail Report on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I am Bob Retall.
In this episode, we'll be discussing the top 300 comics sold through Diamond to retailers for the month. Okay, the numbers we're going to be talking about in this episode are the top comics for January 2009, and it's not exactly the top 300 comics this time around, it's the top 299. The reason for that is the data that was released by Diamond, at what they had as rank 130, was Final Crisis number 6. Coincidentally enough, that was also up at rank number 3, and I confirmed with them that the data they had down in rank 130 had been included in rank number 3, and that everything else should just move up one. I was hoping to actually find out what that 300th item was, but have not heard back on that yet. So we're going to kind of go without that and figure it won't really make all that much difference. Obviously, it does to whatever title landed there, but, you know, hey, their loss.
Someone getting shafted off the list.
Hey, happens often, you know? How do you think that 301st person feels every time?
Yeah, okay.
Starting with the breakdown of the aggregate sales for the top, again, 299 comics for this month. Marvel came out on top, as is no surprise. They usually do. Matter of fact, I think DC's only beaten them like 4 or 5 times over the last couple of years. And sometimes when they do, not by all that much. But Marvel had 48.73% of the unit sales for the top 299 comics, but had 50.69% of the dollars for those same sales. DC came in second place with 35% of the units and 32.78% of the dollars for the top 299 sales. And then from there, the next highest percentage of units is 4.16% for IDW. So, you know, huge, huge difference between the two big companies and pretty much everybody else. You know, and really, once you get past IDW, Image, and Dynamite, which had between 3.27% for IDW, 2.76% of the units for Image, and 2.06% of the units for Dynamite. Everything below that is, you know, under a percent. And really, once you get past Avatar and Aspen, everything's under 0.5% or 0.4%. So, you know, there's a, you know, and we talked about this a little on the year-end episode with Chris, on how Marvel and DC just have a huge presence on the comics list, yet not so much on the trade side. So, you know, this is, again, just par for the course.
Yeah, it you know, makes sense. If you're going to, you know, see the yearly numbers roll up the way they are, you know, the monthly numbers generally going to track that way.
Now, what's kind of interesting this month on the breakdown is both Marvel and DC had 92 items on the list. So they had the exact same number of items. Marvel had 83 new items. DC had 84 new items. But, you know, again, roughly the same. But, I mean, there's a difference of, 800,000 units between DC and Marvel, and about almost $3.5 million in sales at cover price, of course. So it's not just who's coming out with the most items. Marvel's actually able to get theirs into, you know, more stores and presumably more readers as well. Now, if we take a look at the top couple items on the list, as is, I think, no surprise to anyone who's been following politics recently, you know, Obama, not only is he president, you know, he's trying to fix the economy. His, you know, contribution to the comic industry is to have guest starred in Amazing Spider-Man 583, which came out in the top slot by a wide margin. 353,332 units.
When's the last time we saw a book with that kind of numbers?
That question presupposes that we have seen those kinds of numbers in the data I have.
Yeah.
And if you exclude promotional items, in other words, things that were not the 10-cent items or whatever, we have not. I mean, this is staggering sales. This, you know, blows the lid off of what we've seen on Secret Invasion, on Civil War, on the death of Captain America. These are just astounding numbers. And they're not done, because I believe this only covers the first three, maybe four printings, and there has been a fifth printing. So I'm kind of expecting to see some really strong reorder activity for this comic in the February numbers. And at this point, if it's not the top-selling item for the year, I will be shocked. I can't.
Well, given that it's the top-selling item since you've been tracking the numbers, I would be hard-pressed to think of something that's going to, you know, leapfrog it. Because this was just a perfect storm of things. I mean, Obama's elected. He's, you know, all the popularity around that. It hits on a slow news day, essentially. And, you know, people just start swarming the stores, and Marvel, you know, gets its shit together to get multiple printings out, you know, fast on it so that people can buy it. You know, this was, you know, they hit some of the things. You know, getting that first printing was relatively impossible, but, you know, the second and beyond were in plentiful supply.
Now, because it's thrice monthly, we've got the issue before and after it here on the list this month. And the issue before it, 582, is down at rank 15 with just shy of 60,000 units. Matter of fact, an estimated 3 units below that. And then the issue after the Obama issue, 584, is in rank 12 with 63,822 units. So there's a decent chance that they actually had, you know, potentially 3,000 or 4,000, you know, people decide, hey, I may as well get that next issue. You know, I don't know if we're going to see that continue for any length of time, but, you know, the percentage change on this title is just absurd this month, because issue 582 had a 12.91% drop from the previous issue, and I'm trying to think what was in which issue. They're coming out so fast, it's a little hard to keep track. But I think I think 581, was that the Flash Thompson issue?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but could have been.
Anyways, so this one saw a noticeable drop from the previous issue. Then we see a 488.92% increase for that Obama issue, followed by an 81.94% drop to the issue after it. I mean, obviously they weren't going to keep all, you know, 350,000, you know, units they sold of that, you know, one issue, you know, going forward. But to have a title drop by 289,510 units, it just mind-boggling. I mean, we've never seen that before. So, I mean, this was obviously highly successful for Marvel, and, you know, I hope they see some ongoing, you know, benefit from this. You know, based on how that subsequent issue did, not convinced they will. Now, the second best-selling issue was kind of one of the things we had expected, and that's Dark Avengers number 1, and it did 118,706 units, which, again, very strong, you know, opening numbers for that series. But I don't think that's a big surprise. Anytime they launch a new Avengers title, you know, particularly one with Bendis on it, you know, it's going to start out strong.
You know, this one's an interesting one, though, because, you know, it's selling like this, as is New Avengers, which is down there in slot number 5, you know, and they're raising New Avengers. It's, you know, not yet, but soon. Oh, wait, actually, New Avengers was $3.99. So, you know, these are ones that they have raised the price on. And, you know, you look at it and say, okay, well, you know, they're selling tons of copies, and they're getting an extra buck each.
Yeah. Well, I mean, really, the top 5 comics this month are all $3.99 comics. And, you know, obviously it's not a case of, you know, the higher price causing the better sales, but kind of, you know, because they have the better sales, they can get away with the higher price.
Well, in Final Crisis's defense, I mean, that's a longer than normal issue, as was Amazing Spider-Man. But, you know, Dark Avengers and New Avengers are just standard 22-page books, I believe.
Dark Avengers was longer.
Was it a longer one? The first issue was longer.
Yeah, I'm thinking it was
the second issue, the second issue drops to standard length and it stays at $3.99, right?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how big of a drop that second issue of Dark Avengers has. And as we were just talking about, Final Crisis ranks 3 and 4 or Final Crisis 6 and 7. 6 did 111,011 units and 7 did 103,403 units. So there was actually a little bit of a bump on that 6th issue where Batman, you know, dies, at least for the few weeks, but really only about 1,849 units increase. And then it's down a little on that 7th issue. Still, the series remained above 100,000 for the whole run. That's not bad at all. That's actually very good these days. Because really, aside from the item that rounds out the top 5, everything else was well below 74,000 units this month. And that 5th place was New Avengers 49, again, a $3.99 book. I'm pretty sure that's where they revealed the new lineup for the team, and that did 90,137 units. So, you know, we see some interesting stair-stepping here in just the first couple of items. You know, obviously with the you know, record sales of Amazing Spider-Man. And, I mean, there have been comics that have sold more than this in the past, but during the Final Order era, which started in February 2003, and even pushing back to the data I have for the pre-order era, which I think goes back to 97, maybe, we haven't been seeing these kinds of numbers, with the exception of, again, the 10-cent adventure for Superman or Batman. Those sort of things where they're literally giving stuff away. So
yeah, which you're right. I mean, it's not legitimate to try to compare those to something like this.
Yeah, I mean, when you got something that costs, you know, 40 times as much, you know, it's not an apples to apples comparison.
Yeah, and, you know, selling the way that this sold, the thing that's a real boon to comic shop owners is, you know, whatever regular customer pull list person that a shop might give a discount to, the vast majority of these books sold to people wandering it off the street that paid $3.99,
yeah.
You know?
I think most stores were selling it at the cover price.
I don't think, beyond the first printing, I don't think the first printing went for a cover price to anybody except maybe a regular in a shop. The first printing got jacked up, but the second printing and beyond, I think, all went at cover price.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't recall a big, you know, brouhaha about people getting, you know, raked
over. Well, they had a really funky way of, you know, the first one, I think it was Zach from DCBS was telling me something about how they allowed you to order it. It was like, if your orders for 583 were, and this was before they told anybody what the deal was with the issue, so it's not like they said, ooh, Obama, you know, big, you know, news story or anything. It's like, if you want to up your orders, it's like if you upped your orders to some previous issue that sold really well, you had to exceed that, then you could order the variant cover.
Yeah.
But if you didn't, you weren't allowed to order that variant cover of the first printing. So a lot of shops were not eligible to order the variant cover. So the variant cover first printing was in relatively short supply, you know, comparatively. But then all of the second, third, fourth, fifth printings are all the Obama cover. You know, that whatever that, I don't even remember what the regular cover looked like.
It was John Romita with Peter and...
Oh, that's right. It was like kind of the dating thing. Actually, it was a very nice John Romita Sr. cover, now that you mention it. I recall it now. A very nice cover. And, you know, that one is actually going to end up being the rare cover if you, you know, look at, you know, as far as cover images go, because I'm sure that there's probably only about, you know, 60,000 of them, which is, you know, maybe 20% of the print run.
Yeah, but it was a case of they had to order, you know, match the orders of a previous issue. I think it was 575, but I could be wrong on that. And, I mean, the issue was not originally solicited as having the Obama cover, all that stuff. And I heard reports that some retailers had apparently misread the rules of the deal and thought they had to match it, whereas actually they had to exceed the orders for that previous issue. So, you know, they were off by literally a copy and couldn't get the variant stuff. And that seems like a missed opportunity because, I mean, all it takes is the sales rep to call the shop and say, you know, if you bump your order by one copy, you can get, you know, all this other stuff. But apparently that didn't happen for some stores.
And I know that, well, when I asked DCBS about it, for instance, they chose not to up their orders, which makes sense for their business model because, I mean, they're, you know, basically, you know, they're ordering to match what has been pre-ordered. You know, they don't want to order a whole bunch of extra copies on speculation because, you know, what are they going to do with them?
Right. But, you know, for some stores, that makes a lot of sense. It just comes down to, you know, how close is your order for that comic to the benchmark issue you're having to measure up against. If you're off by a couple of issues, it makes sense to increase by that. But if you're off by more than you think you can sell or can justify, you know, it's foolish to do that. You know, and that's really on a case-by-case basis. So, now, rounding out the top 10 is Buffy the Vampire Slayer Season 8. It is continuing to hang in right around, you know, in this case it made the top 10. Sometimes it's a little below that. But it's drifted down to just above 70,000 units at 70,055 units. So it's still doing exceptionally well for a non-Marvel DC title. But, you know, when you compare that to where the title started, you know, it's obviously lost some sales. Because it started at 158,397 units. So it's, you know, below half where it had started. But, again, it lost, you know, about, you know, well over 20,000 units. It's just on that second issue, so not too surprising there. Now, another one that is being, you know, hit by kind of the standard attrition is Trinity. You know, and again, it's coming out every week, so even if you only lose a percent or two per issue, that does add up. And it's down between 38,373 units and 37,159 units from issue 32 to 35, respectively.
Question for you on Punisher number 1, which is there at slot 33, which is a reorder.
Technically, it is not reorder. I have to manually tell my database when they're reusing titles. Because,
okay.
I mean, I'm having to parse all of this data out of text files.
Yep.
And there's no clear indication what title is a new one, different, et cetera. So that
okay, so that's just the this volume first issue.
Yes.
Okay.
But it only did 43,923 units, which, you know, for a Punisher book, a number one set in the Marvel Universe, I would have expected it to be a little bit higher than that, to be honest. But, I mean, these days, for something to crack 50,000 is kind of impressive. You know, this month we only had 22 items do that, so.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised because that had some fair buzz around it.
I think we're going to see a noticeable drop on that second issue because, you know, I don't know. Well, first off, was that second issue oversized or not?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I think that, you know, enough people are going to be thinking, you know, hey, do I really want to be spending $3.99 for this, you know, month in, month out for a standard length story? This didn't start with strong enough sales for me to have the confidence to think it's going to keep, you know, even the average amount of readership.
Is that one that's staying at the $3.99 price past the first issue? Because Marvel kind of switches up on that. You know, some books, they go $3.99 for the first issue and then they drop back down, like even, you know, that misprint in the catalog, like, for instance, I am led to believe that, like, Spider-Woman, which the first issue was $3.99, but the second issue, even though the solicit says $3.99, it's supposed to be $2.99, right? And Agents of Atlas, I believe, was $3.99 for the first issue, went down to $2.99 again for the second issue.
I am not sure off the top of my head if it is what price it is staying at. I am flipping through the current Marvel previews, and it looks like it is a $2.99 book.
Yeah, so they do that with a lot of the, you know, because first issues sell better in general, so, you know, they're going to get their extra buck where they can, right? You know, so Punisher, you know, put it at $3.99, you got an extra, you know, less the discounts and everything, but at retail, you got an extra, you know, close to $44,000 by putting an extra buck on it. But,
well, compared to if it had sold the same amount at $2.99, but the argument could be that at $2.99 it would have sold more than that. The question is then, would it have sold enough more to compensate for the difference in price?
Exactly. So, you know, at $2.99, what's the mathematical break even? You know, how many more copies would it have to have sold to make the same amount of money?
Right. Hang on just a sec, and I will work through that real quick.
Back of the envelope, I'm thinking something like about 12,000 copies extra, maybe?
Close. I put it at 14,690.
Yeah. So, I mean, So at that, you know, if it sold about, you know, 44,000, it would have had to sell 58,000 to make the same amount of money. You know, that would have put it inside the top 10. Or no, it wouldn't have. It would have put it at like about 16.
Yeah. And I just, you know, we don't have any information on how many readers and retailers are thinking that the $3.99 is just too much. I mean, anecdotally, I'm hearing a lot of people saying, I'm not going to pay that. So, you know, I got to wonder if it could have done that extra, you know, roughly 15,000 sales at the cheaper point.
A book like Punisher, quite possibly. I mean, I think, you know, Marvel is smart in doing it with, you know, I don't like it, but, you know, doing it with books like Dark Avengers, like Thor, like Hulk, that they're just selling the heck out of these books. You know, I don't think that you're going to have the drop off just because of that, because it's a really popular book and people are going to buy it regardless. Something like Punisher, you know, because there's a certain number of the Punisher fan base, myself included, that, you know, it's like, you know, if I want to read a Punisher story, I'd rather read a Max Punisher story.
Yeah. Now, in 2009, Peter David has basically said he's going to attempt to triple the sales of X-Factor. That starts with issue 39, so the benchmark for that is, the sales on that 39 is 32,831 units. So to triple that, I mean, that, you know, I wish him the best of luck on that. I just...
98,000.
Yeah, I just don't see that happening. You know?
It will, and that's on, I mean, basically that puts it in the top five for this month. Now, it's one thing to sell an issue at, you know, 100,000, but to sell issue after issue at that level, there's very few books that do that.
Well, I mean, not even New Avengers is doing the level of sales. That would equate to three times what X-Factor's currently doing. And if New Avengers can't do it, I can't imagine what Peter David's going to be able to pull out to make that happen. Again, I think it's an admirable goal. I wish him the best of luck on that. I just don't know that it's a realistic goal.
Yeah, I don't know where tripling it came from. You know, it's like, couldn't have said double the sales. You know?
Like, kind of had to say triple because doubling the sales would put it at 64,000, which is very doable and still not enough to get in the top 10. You know what I mean? He wants to make it the must-read book for Marvel. And again, be interesting to see if he can. Now, down at ranks 62, 63, and 67 are three of the Faces of Evil book, or title, or issues, whatever. We got Grundy, Deathstroke, and Prometheus. And these things sold between 27,122 for Grundy, down to 26,533 for Prometheus, with Deathstroke coming in at 27,027 units. And, I mean, I didn't expect these to be, you know, blowing the doors off the sales or anything, but this does feel a little bit low. And, you know, what this is implying to me is, be it because they're coming out with too many titles, be it the economy, be it whatever reason, you know, they can't just kick out this isn't a fifth week event, but you know what I mean, an artificial, you know, marketing package slash event or whatever, and have it do stellar numbers. I mean, those days are gone. You know, for your average run-of-the-mill title, we're looking at most things, you know, doing 35,000 or less easily, you know, and when things, hey, granted, these are all one-shots, so it's not like they're starting and then going to drop. They're just doing, you know, around the 27,000. So I was a little surprised, you know, by that. Now, one of the things that I'm very pleasantly surprised with is down at rank 84, and that's Fables number 80, which is, I believe, the top-selling Vertigo book this month, with a very respectable 22,641 units. Sure, that's less than a lot of the mainstream Marvel books, but for a monthly Vertigo title, you know, that's very good, particularly given how strong it does over on the trade side. You know, we're getting to where, with the expanded list of the top 300 trades, where we're seeing every volume of Fables every month. So the fact that it's also doing strong on the monthly side, I see as a very good sign. And then actually we've got the Faces of Evil Cobra down at rank 88 with 22,031 units. I don't think there was a fifth Faces of Evil, but I'm not sure it came out in January. It either fell into the December numbers or maybe the February one. but it's interesting how low some of the sales are getting for some of these titles, which arguably have, you know, recognizable characters. You know, when I look at things like, you know, the fourth issue of the Vixen Return of the Lion miniseries doing 8,910 units, I'm thinking, wow, that's not too impressive for a member of the Justice League. But to me, what really indicates the lack of strength of that book is up about 8 ranks at rank 152, where it's being outsold by the official index of the Marvel Universe, which did 9,862 units, and all that is a very concise, you know, thumbnail index or whatever of various early Marvel titles.
Yeah, that's pretty humiliating. I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting the index just because I'm a data junkie, but it is, even to me, a very dry read and strictly for reference. So, you know, Marvel and DC books going beneath this, not a good sign. Now, one of the things I added to the spreadsheet this month, based on a conversation the two of us had, Bob, a week or two back, was if you filter this list down to just the Image comics, because that's all it's going to be relevant for, and then scroll way over to the far right of the spreadsheet over at columns EI through EN, and yes, I have that many columns in the spreadsheet every month, guys. It's how much of a data junkie I am. We were talking about how much some of these Image titles are theoretically making, and I say theoretically because these are ballpark numbers. What I did is I took the cover price.
Oh, got it.
Multiplied it by the estimate. Yeah, it's pretty far to scroll over, I know. But I took the cover price, multiplied it by the estimated units. That gives us the extended dollars for that comic. Now, figure 40% of that goes to the publisher. The other 60% is split between the retailers and Diamond. If you're going through somewhere like DCBS, the reader actually is able to get a discount, etc.
And when you say publisher in this instance, it is the, this is the dollar amount that is available from which we have to subtract the printing costs and the Image listing fee.
Right. Now, Image works differently than a regular publisher. For a regular publisher, this is the amount the publisher gets, and then again, they have to cover creative costs, printing, whatever. For Image, this is the amount of money Image is paid by Diamond for these comics. It is not Image's money. For Image, all they get is a flat $2,500 fee for, you know, trafficking the book, if you will. So whether the book makes money, loses money, or whatever, they get the same $2,500 for Walking Dead as they get for I Hate Gallant Girl. You know, no title is more profitable for Image than another because of this. But we take that 40%, which is what the publisher gets. We subtract out that $2,500 fee for Image, which is, again, regardless of how it sells. And then I kind of ballparked what I thought the printing costs would be. And I took a number for, again, a rough estimate on what I thought it would cost to print, multiplied that out by the estimated sales, and said, okay, let's use this. Now, realistically, the number I have for the printing costs could be wildly off the mark, and consider the fact that they're printing more than just what they sold. They got to have a little for extras. They're going to want some for convention sales, any other venues they have for the periodical comics. And in some cases, if they're smart, if they're close enough to a pricing break point at the printer, they may up it a little just to make the per item cost a little cheaper. But the numbers I came back with in terms of how much money was earned by the creative team, and listen to how I phrase that, how much money was earned by the creative team, this is not how much they profited, but just how much money the creative team got, ranged from a high of an estimated $15,445.08 to a low of a negative $715.20. And again, this was just ballpark numbers. I'm not saying this is actually how much these creative teams got. I don't have that information for these people. But this is the money that has to cover the cost of content creation. This is what they have to use to pay the writer, the penciler, the inker, the letterer, the colorist if it's in color. And for a lot of these books, that doesn't apply. And figure these are 20, 22-page books. when you've got, you know, $25.88 the creative team is getting back after they paid for printing and the image fee, they're not making money on this book. You know, it, to me, it really throws into question, you know, how many of these guys are having day jobs just to make ends meet. And, you know, again, these numbers could be off. Maybe these things are highly profitable for these people. In some cases, they are making good money on the trade paperback side. In other cases, not so much. But really, I found it to be kind of a sobering, you know, set of numbers in terms of where they came out. Because the average number was $4,313.11. And again, figure this has to cover the cost of the content creation plus whatever mythical profit the creative team makes. And only three of them were above 10,000. And those were Walking Dead, Spawn, and Frazetta's Moon Maid one-shot. So, you know, it, to me, this was interesting to kind of go through. And again, regardless of how much the creative team made, each of these is equally profitable for Image. So.
Yep. So, you know, there's hair under 50 grand for Image. You know, there may have been a book or two that fell below the 300 that they got a fee for. So.
Yeah, well, and they'd get the fee for presumably the trade paperbacks as well and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it makes, you know, pretty much almost anything, you know, worth doing for Image. Now, obviously, they're not going to print, you know, stuff done by a third grader with crayon or something. It's not worth doing that. But, you know, they're set up to where they aren't losing money. So. But that's the difference between Image, which has been around for, what, about 15 years, and other companies that have tried to do something akin to the Image Central line, like Speakeasy and a few others that have since gone out of business, you know?
Well, it's just called, you know, you're not going to get huge bucks if something's really successful, but at the same time, you are reducing the intrinsic risk and passing that on to the creative team.
This is also, though, why a lot of Image books over the years have abruptly stopped after a first issue or two, simply because the creator can't afford to lose that kind of money. Now, I've heard that firsthand from a couple of creators. You know, I asked when we'd ever see their second issue or whatever, and they'd say, well, I'd love to, but, and, you know, I can't fault them for that. You know, you're in the stuff to make money.
We were talking about this, and one of the things that came up is, you know, so you're paying the fee to Image, and, you know, how much cachet is actually attached to that, and how many more copies are you actually selling because it's an Image book and it's listed in the front half of previews versus, you know, what you would sell elsewhere. And, you know, it's like, you know, would someone really be losing even more money than this. They just self-published.
Well, on average, you know, because these have different cover prices, but on average, they've got to sell, I think, 765 units to cover the cost of the Image fee. You know, with Walking Dead at $299, they've got to sell, you know, 836 plus units to cover that $2,500 fee. Whereas at the $399 for Frazetta's Moon Maid, they only had to sell, you know, 626 or 7 units to cover that fee. So if you think you're going to get that extra couple of hundred, you know, units, it's worth doing. But if you think it's not really going to make that much of a difference in the number of units you sell, you know, is it worth going to Image? And certainly this explains a lot of publishers that have been at Image and later left Image to go self-publish. You know, if suddenly you're that much, your break-even point is that much lower by, you know, 700-800 units, you know, it makes it worthwhile to look into, you know, doing your own listing and previews and covering your printing costs. So.
Although previews is, you know, swiftly pinching off that channel for the smaller ones. How much do you know about this Enemy? Is that one of the...
Enemy Entertainment is the arm of Haven that does their catalog.
Okay.
Haven is what used to be, I think, Cold Cut or FM, one of the other distributors that, you know, survived for a while after the distributor wars. They went under new ownership, changed the name to Haven and whatnot, and they look to be, at this point, one of the best possible alternatives for people who get pushed out of Diamond. Now,
how do you get your hands on their solicits? I mean, do they have those online somewhere? I mean, obviously you're not going to, you know, you're not going to get a catalog through Diamond for Enemy. That would not make a lot of sense.
Well, I mean, any store that wants to deal with Haven, all they got to do is call them up and say, hey, you know, I'd like to open an account, send me a catalog. You know, I don't know off the top of my head if they have a consumer-level catalog versus one for the stores or if it's the same thing, because they're really only recently been ramping up to do the whole catalog aspect.
It seems to me like just having an online version of it for the consumers to look at, because, I mean, you know, if a lot of these indie books are going to Haven, it's like, I don't even know that they exist unless somebody comes on the forum or something and says, hey, you know, like Martheus Wade, you know, hey, we've got such and such, and I'm going to be on the cover of the Haven catalog. And I'm like, I don't even know there was a Haven catalog, you know, it's like, I would like to know, because then I could ask, and this will apply to anything, you know, if you know that something exists, then you can ask your store, and enough people asking a store for something that comes from Haven/Enemy, and that's going to get the stores thinking about, well, maybe I need to set up an account and start ordering books from this person. You know, it just seems like it couldn't hurt to have that, you know, marketing it from multiple directions and just trying to get the consumer to be doing a pull on that as well.
Agreed. But basically the guys at Haven are taking, you know, or have been taking what was left of Cold Cut, which was mainly a reorder distributor for independent stuff, and trying to gear it back up to do, you know, new comic sales. And that's taking them a little bit of time and work to do that. They do have an online database, I believe, of their catalog. You know, they're starting to do the print stuff. Again, that's where Enemy comes in to do that. But it's a matter of, you know, how many stores sell that much indie stuff to begin with, and then, you know, how many of them do enough to make it worthwhile to open a second, you know, an account with a second distributor, and, you know, all the overhead involved in dealing with that. So I certainly recommend, you know, that stores look into it and do so. But, you know, I also totally understand that it's not right for every store. So I think that Haven has a huge opportunity here with the Diamond Order thresholds, you know, where they've got to, you know, have a, what is it, $2,500, you know,
yeah,
worth of an order per item before they'll cut the purchase order. And if Haven can operate leaner and meaner and affordably at lower levels, this is a huge opportunity for them. They could slowly start, you know, taking that end of the comic spectrum away from Diamond, which could be, you know, potentially very good for the industry, you know, if Haven's up to the task. And I've got no reason to think they're not up to it, but, you know, flip side, I'm not seeing them really step up to the plate as much as frankly I'd like to see. You know, I think once Diamond made that announcement, Haven should have been front and center saying, hey, we're here, you know, come see us at havendistro.com and, you know, seize the opportunity. So, and I have talked with them in the past about getting information about their sales, but that was about, you know, that was a while ago and before they were really in a position to provide that data to me. So I will continue to work on that as I have time and see if I can add that into my analysis.
But mostly there's not crossover, right? Because the stuff that's out, like the major publishers, right, that's exclusive through Diamond. That's not going to be distributed by these guys.
Well, the major publishers, Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, Image, of course.
Right.
But, you know,
you might have extra units of Terry Moore's Echo, for instance, from Abstract Studios.
I believe so. I've got their website open. Let me check. Certainly Strangers in Paradise, I'm not seeing Echo in their catalog at the moment. But again, a lot of this is stuff that they were, you know, the bulk of their business has been in the past providing reorder activity that Diamond just, you know, would never cut the check for. You know, and they're trying to expand that to doing a catalog of new material every month. So I don't know how often they're adding things to their catalog or what their current, you know, state of progress is on all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they've got stuff from IDW, they've got stuff from Oni, let's see, they've got stuff from, they got Boom. So, I mean, they're doing what they can. I think a lot of it, the way I understand it is prior to the new order thresholds, it had to be like 90 days or older or something before it went kind of out of the new stuff into a reorder mode where they could take it over. But I, off the top of my head, don't recall all the ins and outs of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, I would, again, like to see them step up to the plate. I would like to see that become a viable channel. I think it could be very good for the smaller publishers and very good for stores that are able to move that kind of material. Now, one thing about the January data that I believe is noticeably different than what we've been seeing before is the number of items at the $399 price point. As I recall, it was more in the 50 or 60 item range before, and this month we're at 91 items. So 30% of the list, a little over that, is now at the $399 price point, and less than half the list is at the $299 price point. So I think we are starting to see, you know, prices, you know, moving towards that higher level. Of course, I am totally against that because I like my comics cheap. So, anything else, or does that pretty much do it?
Let's take a quick look down at the bottom of the list of, wow, that's a shame, territory.
Well, at something. 290, we've got that Betty and Veronica Spectacular number 87 that we reviewed.
Right.
And it did 1,869 units through Diamond, but it probably did easily, you know, three times that through other channels.
Right. On the other hand, you look at Proof, which is, you know, one of my more favorite Image series, and it's selling 2,600 copies, and that's something that is not going to be selling, you know, three times as many through some other channel. I got to imagine that monthly copies of Proof, you know, if it didn't sell through a comic store, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Now, when you were in town, we went to a couple of stores, and one of the things I noticed at one of them was, I think, the Betty and Veronica Double Digest, which is listed here at $291. And as I recall, the one I flipped through at the store had the statement of ownership indicating it was doing around the 100,000 mark, either for the print run or the sales, I forget which. But it, too, sold that 1,869 units, or 1,855. Excuse me, units through Diamond. So those digests, I believe, have a much better presence at the checkout stands at either grocery stores or Walmart or those types of places. So that's one of the cases where the percentage of sales we're seeing through Diamond is literally a drop in the bucket compared to the big picture. But that is very much the exception to the rule and did not seem to be the case with, again, the Betty and Veronica Spectacular and a few of the other things. If we have any listeners out there that get the Archie comics, either for themselves or for their kids, and have access to a scanner, I would appreciate it if they would let me know, and either could, if they know where the statement of ownership is for some of the recent titles, scan those in, or if they just have the issues, I can tell them for a couple of the titles where the statement of ownership is. I would very much appreciate having that information to toss into my database. Because, again, the Archie stuff just works on a very different business model than some of these other publishers. But yeah, some of these things down at the bottom of the list, it's very surprising. Now, I know what. At rank 269, we've got Captain Action Comics. My database did not pull up the previous issue because the previous one was listed just as Captain Action. But number 2 sold 2,502 units. When did that previous issue come out? That was a while ago.
Yes. I don't have any strong recollection.
Give me just a second and I will look up when that shipped, because I am really curious how much that one dropped by, given how little story was in that first issue. That one apparently came out back, first issue came out in October, so let me pull up the October data and take a quick look there. That was one that, as you recall, had like a 10-page lead story.
Yeah, I remember that part.
Yes.
I remember that I bought this $3.99 comic expecting to see a lot of Captain Action. I got a 10-page Captain Action story and then a bunch of other stories about characters that I didn't particularly care about and were of far inferior quality to the main story also.
It sold about 5,000 units, so it lost about half its sales. And obviously that's a much larger than average second issue drop.
Yeah, and, you know,
deservedly so, I think.
You have that kind of a package, and then you have a, you know, throw that long of a delay in between so that people have a chance to think about it and or forget about it.
Yeah. Well, the bottom of the list this time around was 1,615 units at rank 299. Don't know if 300 hit that or fell below that or not, but compare that to the 4,200 we had one time and the 4,600 or 4,800 we had a month or two back. And, I mean, big difference in how many items, you know, make the list or don't make the list that way, you know. I think last month was... Pull up last to double check. I'm thinking it was 4,800 something. It was 4,607 units. And the number of items we had this month that would have fallen beneath that was 79 items. 80 if you counted the 300 place items. So, you know, that's... People are saying that the bottom of the list is doing better and better, and it's like, no, not really. It's just sometimes the items that made the bottom of the list this month just simply don't make it in some months because you've got, you know, the various Secret Invasion, Final Crisis, that kind of stuff. And, I mean, let's face it, the top four items this month of Amazing Spider-Man, the Obama issue, Dark Avengers, and Final Crisis. Now, sure, we're going to have a Dark Avengers next month. That's the only one of these top four that I think has a chance of cracking 100,000, you know. Now, we also don't have a couple other things this month that... No, actually, I'm trying to think. Are we missing any obvious? We've got a Justice League. We've got Batman. We've got Detective. We've got Astonishing X-Men. We don't have Mighty Avengers. Really, Mighty Avengers is the only one that's coming up off the top of my head that looks like a top-selling item that didn't ship in January. So it's not like we're missing many high-selling items. We're just starting to see them go a little lower than they had been in the past.
Well, I didn't see Hulk on here.
Good catch. Good catch. That would be another one.
And I didn't see Thor either. Because those are usually up near the top. Maybe I just didn't see them.
No, I'm not seeing it either, so yeah.
I mean, those are two. And I'm just going by what books did Marvel raise to $3.99 because they sell really well. You know, and it's like Hulk and Thor are two of them that, you know, pop into mind, and they didn't ship this month. So Hulk is usually at least 100,000 or so, I think.
It's up around there. It varies depending, but yeah. So there are a couple that'll do okay, but, you know, three of the top four we know aren't going to be at that level next month. The question is, do things like Hulk, Thor, Mighty Avengers, you know, compensate for that? Or is February going to be a month where we might see a lot of things, you know, kind of close but just below that 100,000 mark?
Yeah. Well, Thor 600 is going to hit.
And that should do very well.
That should do very well. And, you know, as, you know, anyone who didn't get that, go out and buy it. You know, it was well worth the money issue.
Yeah, best bang for the buck we've seen in ages. So that's pretty much all I've got, unless you've got something else you want to talk about.
Yeah, I think that pretty much does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. The sales estimates can be found under the sales chart section of the Comic Book Page website. Please email us at themailreport@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.
The views expressed by Don Mayo and his guests are their own and may or may not accurately reflect reality in any way, shape, or form. If you differ from your reality, please verify that you are in the same space-time continuum before taking any action. All numbers given are estimates and only estimates. To think otherwise would be foolish. The estimates given are for sales from publishers to retailers for items invoiced through Diamond Comics Distribution for the month in question. The Diamond Order Index only goes two decimal places, and therefore there is a margin of error of at least 1/10,000th of the estimate for the key title, which is usually, but not always, Batman. For months in which no issue of Batman shipped, Detective Comics is usually used as the key title. Some numbers are rounded to the nearest 100 for convenience. This may introduce a further level of inaccuracy. No information about how many copies may or may not have sold to readers is included, implied, or denied. Anywhere from all of the units shipped to retailers to none of them could still be sitting on store shelves gathering dust. All reorder activity should be seen only as indications there's at least one retailer that may have an excessive amount of empty shelf space with dust and needs collecting. The list of the top 300 comic books only contains the top 300 comic books sold through Diamond to retailers for the month in question. More than 300 different comic books may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of the top 300 comic books for the month. The list of the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions only contains the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions sold through Diamond to retailers for the month in question. More than 100 different graphic novels and collected editions may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions for the month. In the past, list of top graphic novels and collected editions contained only 50, 25, or SKUs and items. This means that historical data about graphic novels and collected editions is increasingly limited the further back in time that you look. Fixing this may require time travel, which as far as I know now, has not been successfully invented in the past, present, or any possible or probable future. No visibility into the sales or lack of sales of any comic books, graphic novels, and or collected editions that are not listed on the top 300 comic books or top 100 graphic novels and collected editions lists is included, implied, or denied. The data from Diamond only contains data from Diamond. No information about the sales or lack of sales of any items sold outside of Diamond Comics distribution channels is included, implied, or denied. That information is considered to be outside the scope of this report. If this isn't the data you're looking for, then this isn't the data you're looking for, and no amount of whining will change that. If you don't know why this disclaimer's here, then it probably isn't meant for you. This report is void in the ultimate reality of Duluth, Minnesota. Ath, logic, and the English language itself seem to work very differently there.